Let's pray. Father, as especially as we look at the topic that I want to preach on today, I just pray that I could become invisible and they would just see Jesus Christ. I pray that they wouldn't hear me at all, but they'd hear you speaking. I pray that we would be responsive to you and especially comforted by you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today I want to finish a series that I started 2.5 years ago. My series on Psalm 23. To set this this up, let me quote from an author that I really like to read. A man some of you probably have read as well, a pastor from San Antonio by the name of Max Lucado. And to set this up, this is what I want to say in the sermon, but this will kind of set it up. This is a quote from, or a story from Max. For the last 20 years, I've wanted a dog, a big dog, but there were always problems. The apartment was too small, the budget was too tight, the gifts, the girls were too young. But most of all, Dan Allen was unenthusiastic. That's his wife. Her logic: she'd already married one slobbering, shedding beast. Why does she need a second? So we compromised, and we got a small dog. I like Salty, but small dogs aren't really dogs. They don't bark, they yelp. They don't eat, they nibble. They don't lick, they sniff. I like Salty, but I wanted a big dog. A man's best friend type of dog. A fat pawed, big eating, slurp on your face type dog. You could saddle or wrestle or both. I alone in my passion until Sarah was born. She loves dogs. The two of us were able to sway the household vote. Then Alan gave in, and Sarah and I began to search. We discovered a woman in South Carolina who breeds golden retrievers in a Christian environment. From birth, the dogs are surrounded by inspirational music and prayers. So we ordered a pup. We mailed the check, selected the name Molly, and cleared a corner for her dog pillow. The dog hadn't even been born yet, and she was named, claimed, and given a place in the house. Let me repeat that. That's kind of the conclusion of the story. The dog hadn't even been born, and she was named, claimed, and given a place in the house. Well, if a pastor in San Antonio can do that for a dog named Molly, what would God do for you and me? What does God promise us? What's God doing in preparation? We return to David's most famous psalm. I think it's probably the most famous, his 23rd psalm. It is such a psalm of hope in this life. But does it offer any promise beyond this life? It does. I tell you, the final phrase of this psalm carries the promises that we looked at in the first 5.5 verses to its eternity, to its ultimate conclusion. The psalm starts out rather boldly. It states that the Lord God, the creator of the universe, the one who actually gives us life, the sustainer of all things, God cares about me. He can be compared to a shepherd. A shepherd. Of all things, a shepherd. A man whose only priority in life, his only goal in life, seems to be to care for a sheep. Our God cares for us in this life like a shepherd cares for his sheep. Moving ahead about 900 years, Jesus appears. And Jesus uses roughly the same analogy as David did. But this time, Jesus applies the analogy to himself. In John chapter 10, Jesus uses the image of a shepherd in a way that no one else had or ever could. In verses 14 and 15 of John chapter 10, Jesus says this, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep." In verse 10 of the same chapter, Jesus even talks about our quality of life. Our quality of life when our lives are turned over to the shepherd. Jesus promises, "I have come that they," that's the sheep, that's you and me, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." You see, what David knew about the Lord and wrote about in the first 5.5 verses of this 23rd Psalm, Jesus actually applies to himself. The Lord is my shepherd. I am the good shepherd. I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. I have come that you might have life abundantly. Ah, those are such wonderful promises. Talk about the good life. But what about after this life? Is there anything promised after that? Actually, David concludes his psalm with one of the greatest promises in the Bible. For the last half of the sixth verse, the very last thing that he mentions in the psalm, David says this, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Scholars differ really on the meaning of those words. Some say David is talking about his dwelling in the house of the Lord, meaning that he dwells in the temple in Jerusalem for as long as he lives in this world. But others take it that David is talking about eternal life. Which one is right? I have no doubt that David at least had in mind that the Lord, the shepherd, would be at his side all through this life. But what settles it for me is that Jesus uses basically the same imagery and applies it to himself. I already showed you in John 10 that Jesus claims to be the good shepherd. Like the shepherd, the Lord, of verse 1 in Psalm 23. But if you go just a few chapters further in John chapter 14, you see this kind of imagery expanded by Jesus. I'd like to look at chapter 14, and I'll read the first three verses in John chapter 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. I will take you where I am. Where is Jesus going? This is the verse that really cinches it for me. The one who identifies himself as the great shepherd only a few chapters earlier, echoing really David's 23rd Psalm, now promises that in his departure to go back to the Father, back to the house of the Lord, the great shepherd promises he will prepare a place for me, that he will come back for me and you, and that he will take you to be with him in his Father's house. I don't know about you, but for me, that's probably one of the clearest promises in the Bible. And in fact, when I witnessed anybody, I've gone through EE, and I've memorized all the verses they told me to memorize. But I always slip in this verse. This promise is not only found in Jesus' words, although Jesus certainly spoke of eternal life often in his preaching. But I'll give you one more verse that kind of seals it again for me. Paul is sitting in a jail in Philippi, or in Rome probably, and he's about to go on trial. And the outcome of this trial may be that he will be executed. And that this, he might ask the question, is this the end of the existence of Paul? No. In his letter to the Philippians, he assured them that if executed, he was going home. Let's look at Philippians 3:20. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. You know what I'm starting to think? I'm beginning to put it all together, and I'm coming to the conclusion I'm not home yet. As much as I love Illinois in the middle of January, with its cool, balmy days, its dark, bleak nights, as much as I love sitting at home with a heater at my feet and a blanket over my shoulders, as much as I love this place, I'm not home yet. I guess in my heart and soul, I sense this, and maybe you do too. I don't really belong here permanently. I have an eternal address stamped in my heart or in my soul. And like Paul, I long to go home. Not immediately, but soon, someday. And I know my home address. And I know it as well as anyone. I know it as well as a parakeet does in Green Bay, Wisconsin. You know, all know about a parakeet by the name of Putzi, don't you? Let me tell you about Putzi as told by Calvin Miller. Putzi was her name. She escaped from her owner and came into the keeping of the Humane Society. When no one else claimed her, Sue Gleason did, and they hit it off. They talked and bathed together, became fast friends. But one day, the little bird did something very incredible. It flew over to Miss Gleason, put her beak in her ear, and whispered, 1500 South Oneida Street, Green Bay. Sue Gleason was dumbfounded. She researched and found that the address actually existed. She went into the house and found a 79-year-old man by the name of John Strubutz. "Do you have a parakeet?" she asked. "I used to. I miss him terribly." When he saw Putzi, he was thrilled. You know, he even knows his phone number. A dog and a parakeet. There's a unique way of coming to a conclusion to the 23rd Psalm, isn't it? But they're true illustrations. Like Putzi, I have a built-in yearning to go home. I love it here. I really do. And I love what I do. And I love all of you, and I love attending here. I love even preaching. And I love what Gene and I do. I like what we do with college students. I love to teach. I love visiting our daughter and the grandchildren. And oh yeah, our son-in-law. I love being with Jean and laughing with her. And she's a fabulous friend and wife. But I realize that in my heart, I know I have another place. Ultimately, I'm going to. And now, as a Christian, because Jesus tells me so, I know the address, in a manner of speaking. And again, thanks to Jesus, I know the way. Because Jesus said, "I am the way." And so, like Putzi, I know the way home. I know my address. And like Molly, the big dog that Max Lucado spoke of, I know because Jesus promised me in John 14:3. I know that before I was even born, I was named, claimed, and have a place in my Father's house. Am I ready for death? Not really. Probably have some time left to make trouble for you guys. But in a sense, I'm ready. And someday, I'm just going home. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, thank you for, well, for allowing me to finish this psalm, but also thank you for stamping my home address, so to speak, in my soul. Thank you for giving me a yearning to be back with you eventually. Thank you for surrounding me with so many friends and so much pleasure and so much joy. But I know in my heart, I'm not home until I'm with you. And Father, it is kind of strange because I planned this maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago. But there's a little boy that had that same address on his soul. And he got there before the rest of us. And we can look at him as gone now. But he's not gone. He's just home. He's with you. He got there a little sooner than most. But he's loving on you and you're loving on him. Thank you for, in a way, thank you for bringing him home. And thank you for each of us. Someday, we're all going home. And we praise you for that. Amen.